I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Whatever problem or challenge you've been dealing with, it is God's will that you overcome it, that you triumph over it. In fact, that you be more than a conqueror.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean? I mean, being a conqueror is good. That means you won. What's more than a conqueror? One aspect of more than a conqueror is that not only do you triumph, you overcome the problem, but then you go tell everybody that the devil couldn't do it and that God was bigger and God gets glory. And especially after years of this, the enemy wishes he had never messed with you because you're making him eat it. You didn't just win. Huh? More than a conqueror. Somebody say the greater one lives inside of me. He always causes me to triumph. I am an overcomer in Christ. I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. Glory to God. Yes, you are. Father, we're so thankful, so appreciative how you have loved us and chosen us and kept us and every good thing that we enjoy in you. We look to you today for our daily bread and our spiritual sustenance, and we're asking for utterance and anointing and answers and direction and help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We've been on a subject here for a number of weeks that we're calling faith for provision. And I'm so glad I know God wants me to have provision.
Amen.
Huh? I don't have to be wondering about it or struggling with the idea. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he enjoys seeing me squirm in lack. No, he doesn't. He's a good father. It is his will for all of us to have abundant provision all the time.
Amen.
It is. And to prove it, we're going one by one through scriptures, giving 30 great spiritual truths from the Word. Not opinion, not theory, great spiritual truths with multiple verses for each one. And if you haven't been with us, go online to faithschool.org, and all the previous lessons are there. We're up to number 16 in our study of these 30 reasons. If you hadn't heard them or seen them, you should go hear the previous 15. They all build one upon another. And there are many other messages there. No cost, no charge to you, no obligation required. Faithschool.org. But we're up to today, number 16 in our study. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the promised land. The promised land. The land that God spied out, he said, and prepared and selected and gave to his people. His people, Israel, that he delivered out of the Egyptian bondage. And we know that when you learn what God's will is, then you know his will for you because he never changes. But also these things are types, the scripture said. 1 Corinthians says all these things we read about that happened with Israel, their deliverance through the wilderness, obtaining the promised land, that's all types of what we have in Christ.
Yes.
And so, what are we to understand from this? Now, one thing we talked about on yesterday's class, we touched on, You'll hear a lot of preachers and people talk about the promised land in connection with heaven, and leaving the idea that the promised land in the scripture is a type of heaven portraying heaven. That couldn't be true, because the promised land had to be possessed by faith through fighting. And there were giants and enemies and adversaries. Thank God that won't be the case in heaven.
Amen.
Huh? Are you looking forward to leaving this life and getting to heaven, and the first thing you meet is a bunch of giants and go, "Oh Lord, I thought we were done with this." No, thank God. No more curse, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more dying. The Bible said they rest from their labors and their works do follow them. I'm looking forward to that. But down here, it's a fight. A lot of people don't like that. I had a lady one time look at me, and I was telling her that she needed to resist some things. And she said, "But I'm not a fighter. I don't want to fight." I said, "Well, yeah, but dear, you'll just lose then." Right? I mean, you fight or you lose. Huh? You have to fight. Not fighting people. Not fighting God. He's not your problem. But there is an adversary. The Bible talks about there's an adversary. There's a devil, and his cohorts raid against us. And they don't come, obviously, but they come in the form of feelings, oppression, depression, fear, doubt, tempted to rebel, disobey, all these kind of things. And so every day of your life, you better strap your fighting shoes on. Is that right? Your truth and your shield of faith. Is that right? Get your gear on, because it's coming. Be ready. Amen. Have the sword of truth and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. And when you're bombarded with these feelings and temptations and suggestions and oppression and heaviness and all this kind of stuff, you got to go, "No, no, this is the truth." Is that right? No. And you just resist everything that tells you you can't. Huh? Everything that's telling you no, you can't pay your bills. No, you'll always have this disease. No, you're going to die young and you can't. And you rise up and go, "No. No, it is written." Is that right? It is written, and you stand and you fight the good fight of faith. Well, that's what they had to do to get to promised land, so it couldn't be a type of heaven. It's a type of what God's will is for us on the earth, here and now, where there are the enemies arrayed against us and the walls and all this kind of stuff. So no, the promised land is not a type of heaven. It's a type of what we can have down here. Now, in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, if you'll go there, please. What are we to learn from the promised land? He said in chapter 8, verse 1, "All the commandments which I command you this day, you'll observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers." Did he want them to wander around in the desert for 40 years?
No.
Wanted them to go into the promised land. Hebrews talks about this, that the works were finished from the foundation of the world for them to go in. But the first generation didn't go in. God couldn't get them to believe his goodness. Now, we're going to see this more clearly as the classes go on, I think. We're going somewhere. But they listened to the wrong voices and would not believe God really had their best interest at heart and mind. Do you remember how many times they would say, "We're all going to die out here"?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what they believed. More than God saying, "I've spied out you a land.
Yeah.
I've got you a land. It's a good one. You don't have to irrigate it. I'm watching over it. I'll rain on it. I'll get your crop started and I'll finish it off. Huh? I've got you. Houses you didn't build, vineyards and flocks, and they didn't believe that. They did not believe that. Tell me what they believed. We're all going to die out here. And this is it gets worse. They believed God brought them out there to kill them. Now, you hear that and you think, well, how in the world could they do that? Millions are doing it right now today. Millions are doing it. Now, it's not Egypt, it's not the wilderness, it's not Canaan's land that they're specifically talking about. But there are millions who do not believe in God. And they don't believe in His goodness. They just don't believe He really has their best interest at heart. They have experienced trauma and bad things because actually they are operating without God. It's not that God's against them. It's just they don't have His help because they have rejected Him. And they're on their own and they're defenseless against an evil, cruel devil. And they don't believe that God is as good as He is. They don't believe that He has a wonderful plan. Not just for later on, but to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Yes.
This is one of the biggest issues there is in dealing with human beings on the planet. Romans says the goodness of God would lead people to repentance and change. Well, then what do you think the devil's going to try to hide and cover up and twist and distort? Because does he want people coming to God or staying away from God? And sadly, millions are convinced either that God doesn't exist at all or that He's a cruel God. He's an uncaring God. He's a God who will steal your baby with a disease, a God who will kill your spouse with a car wreck. You know, millions believe this. It's preached in churches. And it's of the devil. I said, it's of the devil. It's from the enemy. No, he said he wanted them to live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware to your fathers. Deuteronomy 8:2. And you shall remember all the way. Everybody say the way.
The way.
To get from where you are to somewhere else, there's a way.
Right?
Right? There's a road. There's a path. There's a way. There's a wrong way. If you take the wrong road, you go the other way. The other decision, you never get there. But there's a way to it. And he said, the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and prove you, know what was in your heart. What's the big question here? Whether you would keep His commandments or not. Whether you would do what He told you to do. This is still the big thing. Still the big thing. In John 14, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my commandments. And he went on to say, he that doesn't keep his commandments doesn't love him. Now, a lot of people don't like that. They do not like that. It's too plain. It's too clear. But if you love God, you'll do what He tells you to do. It's just that simple. And if you won't do what He tells you to do, it doesn't matter how loud you yell hallelujah, yeah. Or how many religious books you have in your house, right?
Yeah.
If you won't do what He tells you to do, it's obvious you love something else more than you do Him, or you would do what He told you to do. Not you, me, any of us. And all of us have made some mistakes, but let's fix it.
Yes.
Right? Let's change it. And it is not a matter of technically understanding things or there's this vast process. No, no. Do you love God?
Yes.
It's as simple as that. Do you love Him more than you do yourself?
Yes.
Or other people? or anything else. Everybody said out loud, I love the Lord my God.
I love the Lord my God.
With all my heart.
All my soul,
all my mind,
all my strength.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If that's true, then we need tells you to do something. Right? Tell me what's going to happen. You will do it. You'll do it. You'll put that ahead of yourself, ahead of anybody else. And so that's what he is doing with them, giving them an opportunity to learn. Now this gets so clear as he goes. He says, verse 3, he humbled you and suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna. Now this was to be a very temporary path on the way to the promised land. To learn what? What everybody needs to learn. Right? Everybody needs to learn what? God's number one. Right? Everything in my life is based on Him and what He says. Right? Everything. And so that's exactly what was going on. He said, He fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither your fathers knew. Nobody had ever heard of manna. That He might make you know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. I think sometimes we have heard that phrase. Jesus quoted it in the wilderness temptation. We're going to talk about that just in a moment. But this is one of the biggest revelations about how to live your life on earth, is that I don't live by food only. Now, you know what happens if you quit eating, right? If you just quit eating, just in a matter of days, you'd be too weak to function. And then not long after that, you'd die. You can't make it without, your body can't make it without some natural food. But he is saying there's something more important than that. Huh? There's something more important than that. Most people don't believe that. They just do not. What we're saying, the word is to be first place before our nutrition of our body. Before any natural thing, we should know we are dependent upon thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
We're dependent on what He says to us. Every day, the biggest thing in my life should be, what's the Lord saying?
Yes.
Right? What is He saying to me, to us, about here, about now? Because everything else depends on that. Everything else is attached to that. The most important thing, if God is the most important thing in my life, His instruction and connection to me is through His Word. Then His Word is the most important thing, because that's communicating to me Him, His will, His plan.
Yes.
Said out loud, the Word of God,
is what I live by.
I live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God,
to me.
Hallelujah. Jesus said, it's the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. John 6:63. He said, the words I speak to you, the words, they are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah. Every day of my life, the thing I ought to be more hungry for than any kind of roast or potato or piece of bread, right? Should be a word from the Lord, right? Because that doesn't just quicken your body, that quickens your entire being and existence. And when whatever situation you're in, you might be in the worst situation physically, financially, maritally, whatever, there's a word from the Lord, hallelujah, for your situation that'll absolutely break shatter yokes, and remove burdens. There's an anointed word that'll clear the fog out of your head and cause you to see so clearly and go, oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. And you start saying that word and acting on that word, and your problems are over.
Amen.
That's more important than a biscuit. Right? Or whatever. Piece of pie. I mean, whatever. Right? That's what Job said. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jeremiah said, your words were found and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Glory to God. So what was going on in the wilderness? Now, you know, out of Egypt, the deliverance, the people of God didn't have anything to do with that. You know, they didn't do that. God did that. I said God did that. He did every bit of that. Brought them out. But now once they're out, he's got a place for them over here in the promised land. But they got to get there. And they're coming through the wilderness, and he's doing this on purpose, because if you're going to live a successful life, it's a life in God.
Yes.
If you're going to live a victorious, successful, prosperous, blessed life, it's because you hear from God.
Yes.
And you obey God.
Amen.
And so the biggest lesson you got to learn is not how to get rich.
Yeah.
It's how to hear from God.
Yes.
Come on, y'all with me.
Amen.
It's not how to get healed. I said, it's not how to get healed.
Amen.
It's how to hear from God. Because
yes.
you learn how to hear from God. You got your healing. You'll get your healing.
Yes.
Whatever else it is.
Yes.
If you're willing to obey. And so that was the thing that they needed to learn. Now you got to remember, they are coming out of a heathen environment. I mean, everything around them was worshiping false gods, worshiping the sun. They have been immersed in this ungodly stuff for centuries. And so they need serious mind renewal.
Oh, yes.
Now this is too early for them to be born again, but they do have a heart and a mind, and they can love God if they'll choose to.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they could obey him if they would choose to.
Yes.
And you can see why the Lord led them like he did, because they failed every test. Every time he would tell them to do something, they wouldn't do it. They'd fight against it. They would deny it. They would reject it. And he doesn't want them in the wilderness for any extended length of time. What does he want? Them to learn how to listen. Right? Just listen to me and do what I said. Now, you know I'm not exaggerating. You remember things like the manna. Right? He said, it's going to come like this, and you'll gather it, and it'll be just enough. You know, not too much, not too little. And then on the sixth day, I'm going to give you twice as much. Because on the seventh day, I want you resting. I don't want you going out there, and there won't be any out there. So he said, when you get it, don't save it. Do not save it. So what did they do?
They saved it.
Now we laugh, but it ain't funny. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because he specific. See, what's going on here? This is not just about sanitation.
That's right.
What is this about? The whole exercise. The whole thing. The whole reason you're in the desert right now. Will you listen to God? Will you just simply do what he told you to do without arguing, without fussing? Well, even if you don't understand, and I'm sure they thought, well, you know, I mean, this is the only food we have out here. I am not just going to throw this good food out. There are people starving over in other places. Huh? See? No. If God says throw it out, you do not save it. And then on the sixth day, he said, save it. Save it tonight. And that's why you cannot write a rule book.
Right.
Always do this, never do this. Mm-mm. If somebody comes out with a 1,000-volume set on what to do in every situation, save your money. Because the only way to get it right is the Holy Spirit inside you, leading you every day. Because some days the word is save it. Other times the word is don't save it. Right? Sometimes the word is go out. Other times the word is sit down and stay here. That's right. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. We need, we require this personal dynamic interaction of being led individually. Every day, only the Holy Spirit can do that for all of us. He said he humbled you, suffered you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you knew not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make you know. Man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God does man live. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, this is recorded Matthew 4, Luke 4, different places. And he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the scripture said afterwards, after the 40 days, he was hungry. At this point, it was the hunger was setting in. And the tempter came, the enemy came, and suggested to him and said, command that these stones be made into bread. You remember that?
Yes.
Why was that a temptation? Because Jesus believed he could do it. Is that right? Jesus wasn't struggling with can I speak to it and it become a nice hot loaf of bread. And he's hungry. But what was his answer? What's Jesus' answer? He's hungry. He believes a miracle can happen right here with this. Yes. He quotes this verse that we just got through reading. And he says, no. No. It's written. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. How would understand that? What's he saying? The Lord did not tell him to command these stones to be made bread.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
Coming out with me?
Yes.
So you don't just go off on your own and doing things randomly and this and that. I got to hear from the Lord. Is that right? I got to hear, right? More important than breakfast,
yes.
More important even when you're hungry,
yes.
More important than anything else is hearing from him and doing what he said, and then he'll watch over his word and perform it, and you'll have just what you need when you need it. Praise God. Well, our time's up again. Come back next time. There's more to see here in Faith School.
I've got the
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.